It's the 100 Sanford podcast. We are back for another week after that big time victory of Georgia over Missouri. But I got another guy with me. Who is that guy that I got there?
It's your boy, Graham Coffee.
Graham Coffee is in the building. He is in the building. So, Graham, let's get right into it, man. I know everybody wants to kind of talk about what happened last week. We had the victory 43-6. Mind you, I did pick 55-6. But anyway, 43-6. What are your thoughts on last week? A lot of people wanted to talk about that game. Not too many people were happy.
I mean, I think the, you know, beating a division opponent in conference play 43-6 and not being happy about it is a very good indicator of how good this Georgia team is. But I mean, there was a lot to be concerned about, man, straight up. I thought the offensive line played their worst game of the year by far. You know, they really never got it clicking. I mean, we did the Dog Sports Live film study last night, man, and just going through the tape, it's just play after play after play where that O-line is getting whipped, you know. And, I mean, McClendon had some good moments at times, but really the other four just – they got punished, and there was a lot of missed assignments. There was a lot of mental errors, lots of stuff not getting picked up, lots of missed protections, lots of guys standing around not blocking anybody while somebody's running past them. It was ugly, man, and they didn't look focused. They did not come out with an anger or an attitude. And, you know, going back to that Arkansas game, they came out in that game angry. And they came out aggressive, and they reset the line of scrimmage over and over and over. And when you went back and watched that tape, every single play, those guys were finishing 3, 4, 5, 6 yards downfield. Against Missouri, every single play, they're finishing 2 and 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
Yes, they were. So,
yeah, it's concerning, man. You know, because Tennessee – I know that they just got shell, you know, I know that Kentucky just put up 600 something yards on them, but that rush defense is good. And I don't think Georgia, you know, really wants to get into a position where they're going back and forth, trading 3 and 4 and 5 play drives with an up-tempo offense like Tennessee. Like, I think they want to be able to control the clock when they need to. But I will say that these guys, it was a noon start. It was Missouri. They're 37-point favorites. You know, I'm sure we're aware of the fact that Vanderbilt had just run for 8 yards of carry on them. So I think they came out pretty relaxed and thinking this was going to be a stroll in the park. And in reality, Missouri came out with some attitude and some anger, and you got to credit them because they brought the fight to Georgia. And Georgia's so good that they were able to, you know, do in rounds with Arian Smith and you know, run plays with Kyrus Jackson and do some things differently and run some tosses and get guys outside. But that classic inside power, inside zone type stuff, outside power, even, you know, a lot of the 3, 4, 5 most common run plays in Todd Monken's playbook, none of them were clicking with any consistency, and none of them really clicked at all until you saw the second team come in. And, you know, Trust and Mims, they had some nice pulls, opening up some holes for Savon Clark and Dejan Edwards. But, yeah, it's concerning. And I also thought, you know, looking at the defensive side of the ball, I know it's 6 points, but there were some coverage busts on the back end at times that Missouri's quarterbacks just weren't good enough to take advantage of. I think Tennessee would be able to take advantage of those types of busts. And I also thought that you could feel the presence of Adam Anderson not being there, you know, he was missed. There were times where they did not keep contain or set that edge where he usually is. And with a guy like Hooker coming up next week, you don't want to let him escape the pocket and roll right and force your guys downfield to cover for 5, 6, 7 seconds. You want to keep him in the pocket, force him inside towards those big bodies like Davis and Carter and Wyatt and let them, you know, eat. But those guys can't eat if the edge rushers are not, you know, forcing him to stay contained. So
yeah,
it's concerning, but you know,
yeah, I mean, I'll say I was in that camp that was and it's sad to say, a little disappointed in our performance last week. One, I thought that we would eat much more than what we did on the defensive side of the ball. I thought those guys were really going to let loose. You know, it's one of those games where you kind of scale back and you say, man, you know what? This is a stat game, fellas. Let's eat like crazy. And they just didn't do that. And I think, you know, when you talk about how this offense came out early, you know, you're watching this game, you're looking at the slow development, you're looking at the inability to run the football, you're looking for splash plays, which if you kind of go back to what we talked about last week, I thought that they were going to be able to throw the football effectively. That's what I said. I just thought they'd be a little bit more balanced and be able to run the football. But like you mentioned, it didn't come until the second team actually got in there with Edwards being able to run the ball more effectively. I think those stats are skewed if you go back and look at how well they did run the football, but it was, again, based off of that second team being in there. So my main concern coming out of that game is that you don't have, you know, a game like Tennessee that's coming up, you don't have the ability to start slow. That's a team that likes to start fast, and they do start fast. You go back and look at every game that they played thus far, they have splash plays. Josh Heupel's always been one of those guys that creates splash plays. He designs splash plays. He's a very good offensive coordinator and a good, very good offensive mind. And when you got a guy like Hilton that's playing out of his mind, 21 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, he's been very careful with the football. He's been very effective with the ball downfield. And like you mentioned, he's not going to miss shots downfield like Missouri missed last week. They got better explosive wideouts on the outside that can get downfield against you. Georgia's got to come ready to play. And they have to come ready to play, you know, from whistle to whistle, because Tennessee's going to give it all that they got, especially, you know, in the midst of an investigation, especially with recruits being in the house. Yeah, they may or may not play in bowl games. They're going to come correct, and they're going to be ready to play come Saturday up in Neyland Stadium.
This is their Super Bowl, and you know, I've been in that stadium multiple times. When they get a lead on a team that, you know, is higher ranked than them, and they get into that, you know, upset mode, that crowd is special, you know, they are. And that place gets loud, and they start playing Rocky Top, and you're sitting there and you can feel the place shaking to the beat of Rocky Top. And it's a lot. And so Georgia, you know, they need to be prepared, not just mentally, but they're also going to have to be prepared from a communication standpoint, because it's going to be hard to check things at the line of scrimmage. And, you know, we don't know if Sawyer is going to play or if it's going to be Broderick Jones at left tackle again. And those guys need to be able to get through their checks. And Stetson Bennett or JT Daniels, whoever's under center at any given time, like, they need to – they can't be trying to change things up with 7 seconds left on the play clock. You know what I mean? That's not going to happen. They're going to have to get to the line of scrimmage and assess and give themselves time to communicate, because – it's not going to be, you know, one call. It's going to be 4 or 5 different times yelling in all directions. So yeah, I think that this is going to be a challenge for Georgia. I think it's exciting that they have this challenge. I mean, like you said, Hooker is playing really good football. He's a top 10 college quarterback right now. He really is. But, you know, I think there's some thing like this matchup. We just watched Tennessee put up 10 plays or 10 yards a play basically on Kentucky. But, you know, you going back into the Alabama game, they were able to really stick in that game for a while and fight and make some good plays. But, you know, they didn't do that to Alabama. Like, you know, they're an explosive offense, but I think that Georgia can do some things to limit that explosiveness and, you know, really kind of keep them in check. But I think Georgia is going to be motivated to play this game, because this has been the thing that all the pundits have been talking about for weeks, right? It's, they held so-and-so to 3 points or 6 points or 10 points or whatever it is, but let's see what happens when they play Tennessee. That's going to be the most explosive passing game they've seen. So I'm sure that those guys on the back end, Ringo, Kendrick, Seen, Smith, Brenny, you know, all those corners, they're going to take this personally. So will the guys up front in the front seven. You know, they're going to be ready to play, man. I think they will.
Yeah. I think, you know, I'm not one of those pundits, obviously, but at the very same time, it is. It's a very good matchup, because I don't think, you know, I think each week we played one of those ranked teams. We say, oh, this is an offense Georgia hasn't played yet. This is an offense Georgia hasn't played yet. But quite honestly, this is a style of offense Georgia has not played yet. And when you kind of get to that SEC title game, possibly against an Alabama that's able to spread out a little bit more, a quarterback that's able to throw the football. They're able to design things much, much better with Bill O'Brien. Or if you get to the college football playoffs and you start talking about an Ohio State that's able to throw the football around the field, Oklahoma, if they can rise up a little bit higher in the rankings, Oregon, they like to spread it out a little bit again with a quarterback that's able to run. This is a very, very good test on this defense because you don't have, and you have not played a offensive coordinator like Heupel. And with a quarterback playing this lights out with the skilled weapons that he does have. And it's something that's going to actually test Georgia. Like you said, the defense has to come locked in. If they come locked in this game, it allows your offense to feel a little bit more comfortable. But it will be interesting because if they do get punched in the mouth, if they do, you know, give up a big shot, how does the offense respond? Do they feel confident in their abilities to say, you know what, we're down 7-0, we're down 3-0, we're on the road, how do we respond? It would be interesting to see. I mean, I don't want to see it. I don't think anybody wants to see it. I think everybody wants to come in and blow this team out like everyone else that we have been playing against and blowing them out. I think I want to, I definitely want to see a devastating defensive performance because I think it would be awesome to see this defense that has been generational to shut down an offense this explosive. I think would be phenomenal to see, but it's going to be a test. And I've been saying that all week. I know some people are not really of that ilk. They're just believing that Georgia's just going to go in and wipe the floor with them. But this is a dangerous team. It's a dangerous game, especially when you're on the road. Like you mentioned, 100,000 strong up there in Neyland Stadium. It's going to be rocking. It is their Super Bowl. It's, you know, it's Rocky versus, you know, Apollo Creed, quite honestly. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree with all of that. And I think one thing you got to watch in this game is Georgia, the last four games they've played, that touchdown to Arian Smith with a minute left in the first quarter was the first quarter touchdown they've scored since the Arkansas game. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to go up on the road and mess around and start slow and, you know, let Tennessee get a lead on you. And all of a sudden everybody starts believing and all of a sudden you're in a dogfight, right? So, you know, Monken has come out pretty run heavy in his scripts the last few weeks in a row. And for those of you that maybe don't know what we're talking about, like generally offensive coordinators, they script the first 12, 15, 18 plays of the game and they just go out there and run them. And a lot of times, you know, they run those scripts unless there's something really, really different happening situationally. Yeah. But those scripts have been not great, if we're being honest. You know, there was a stretch there where Georgia scored 70 first quarter points in three games. They were just knocking opponents out before the end of the first quarter. And with that defense, it was, you knew the game was over. I think that everyone is cued in on, you know, we're not going to let Georgia just come in and run the ball down their throats. And you're going to see like what Missouri did, you know, they're going to stack the box and they're going to bring some blitzes, and Georgia needs to do a better job of checking out of that stuff. But I think that what we've seen for a few weeks now is that if Georgia wants to run the ball, they need to pass to set up the run. They're not going to be able to just – this offensive line just hasn't been good enough to come out and run against, you know, even numbers in the box. Even when there's tight ends in there, if they've got 6, 7, 8 guys in the block and the defense has a similar number, it's not happening right now. And hopefully that could change on Saturday. But I think Georgia needs to come out, be explosive early, kind of challenge the narrative of this game where the idea is that Tennessee is this fast, explosive, high-paced, quick-strike offense, and Georgia is more of this kind of prod-along, old-man type football. Like, Georgia's got weapons downfield. And Stetson Bennett, you know, last week against Missouri, that was the first time we've really seen him just drop back and sling it. Before that game last weekend, over half of his attempts in every game, and sometimes, you know, up into 70% of his passing attempts had been off play action. Mm-hmm. And if they were going downfield, it was off play action. Saturday, he was 11 of 14 on straight dropbacks. He only had 5 play action attempts and, you know, 15 yards an attempt on those 14 pass attempts. So he's being explosive, dropping straight back. I think they need to come out and do that, soften this Tennessee defense up, and then come back and you can run the ball a little bit and control the clock a little bit more, but come out, be explosive, go on those 4 and 5 play drives early, hitting 10, 15, 20 yard chunks down the field in the passing game, and go get up 14-0. Because if you do that, you'll have a good day. You know what I mean? If you do that, you're going to calm this crowd down. Everything's going to, you know, these guys are going to get loose. They're going to have fun. They're going to start relaxing. And I think this is an opportunity for Georgia to make a real statement. Like, I think this is a statement game for Georgia where they can come out and really kind of prove to the doubters that they are the legit number one team. And the gap between number one and number two is as significant as some people have thought it is. But they're going to have to come out and play a cleaner football game than we've seen them play in a few weeks. And that's going to be the challenge.
Yeah. And you know what? Nationally, there aren't very many doubters, but I think the doubters for me would be just everybody else in the SEC. All those teams that have talked about Georgia, Georgia's not Georgia. Oh, if it wasn't for who they were playing, if it wasn't for that defense, all of those things can be shut down this weekend. And not that Tennessee is this number, you know, this top 25 team, but when you do look at what this team presents and how it presents itself as a problematic issue in this game, it could shut a lot of people up, because a lot of people can say, wait a minute, you know, they were able to put up and move the ball well against Alabama and some of these other teams, you know, the Kentuckys of the world that were ranked all throughout the season. It will shut a lot of people up. But, you know, we do have Jason Swain from the Swain Event. He's going to come on. He's going to talk Tennessee football. Everybody knows who Jason is. He's the guy down there in Tennessee, ex-Vol, good guy.
Had a great career at Tennessee.
Great career. He did take a shot from our guy Greg Blue, though. You remember that, right?
That's right. I forgot, man.
Yeah, he'll say that he wasn't looking. Jay will say he wasn't looking, but
as Greg would say, as he said on our podcast months ago, I'm just an asshole. That was I think that would shot. Be his answer on it. So
yeah, Greg would call it a prick shot.
yeah, exactly. That's right, 100%.
So, hey, I think he's in the green room, man. Let's talk to him, and then we'll come back and we'll give our assessment of the interview and then move on to next week. All right, we are joined by Jason Swain. That's right, from the Swain Event, here to talk some Tennessee football. Jay, what is going on?
What's up?
Everything is good, man. It's been a long time since I talked to you previously. I told you the 100 sample was going to come out. We're going to bring you on and talk that Georgia football, that Georgia noise, what's going on. So here you are. Let's talk Tennessee, Georgia. First, before we even go there, what's your thoughts so far, man, on Tennessee season? Because it's been started off a little bit rocky, but now it looks like the things are starting to shape up there in Rocky Top.
Yeah, I mean, I think Tennessee has exceeded some expectations. You know, things look good so far. And, you know, guys are buying in. Coaches are doing more with less. You know, it's certainly been a pleasant surprise, and looking forward to seeing how Tennessee continues to build and recruit and develop. And so, you know, it's been a nice start, but we know the SEC, man, you can't get too up, you can't get too down. You got to stay steady, and that's what Tennessee needs to continue to do.
What's your early thoughts on Heupel, man? I mean, I was actually bullish on him. I told people early on, I thought Josh Heupel was going to come in and kind of stabilize things out a little bit. Obviously, he had Pruitt lead the program, but what's your thoughts on Heupel so far?
Well, I like how Heupel, and I mean, I've been saying the same thing about, you know, what it takes to win here and what kind of coach fits, you know, this place. And you know, if you're a good person, you are real. You are, well, I mean, a good coach, obviously. But if you're just a good person, man, and comfortable in your own skin, you'll do well here. And the people of Tennessee, that's what they can, you know, pick up on. They can sense if you're not that. But I think they feel like Josh Heupel is that, and the players feel that. I think that's why he's getting the most out of them. But, you know, Heupel is someone that is the most proven head coach Tennessee has hired since Johnny Majors. Johnny Majors won a national championship with Pittsburgh and decide to come home and rebuild this program. Tennessee has not hired someone with a resume at the head coach position, you know, as good as Johnny Majors, you know, since then. And Heupel has come in with a track record And he's proven so far that he is the right man for the job.
Well, how's the fan base right now in terms of, I know there's, you know, there's still some things lingering in terms of the violations. Is there some uneasiness right now? I mean, with the NCAA not wrapping up its investigation, and I think a couple days ago, Tennessee decides not to put themselves on a self-ban for the for bowl games. Is there still some uneasiness around the program?
No, not really, because we know what goes on in the SEC, and we know that, you know, other schools just, you know, haven't been caught. And we know the NCAA is continuing to lose power. But Tennessee actually Tennessee wrapped up their own investigation and decided not to, you know, impose a bowl ban, but they're going to, you know, impose some other penalties. And Tennessee does not feel like punishing, you know, a bunch of innocent kids that did not do anything wrong. A lot of the guys that did are no longer here. Either players or coaches and, you know, administrators, assistant coaches, those folks have been cleaned out and fired. So, you know, Tennessee just felt like, hey, you know, y'all know what goes on around here. Y'all don't do anything to other schools. You know, of course, Pruitt got caught. Well, we fired him. We cleaned everybody else out. We're moving on. And that's what's happening.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, the fan base has been a little bit raucous right now. You know, you're winning. Big win last week against Kentucky. It looks like the guys are putting up points. What are your thoughts on that offense? I mean, I think it's explosive, and I love the quarterback play, but what's your thoughts on that offense?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of questions about the offense and how it could negatively affect the defense with the tempo. But so far it has, you know, done nothing but, you know, give this team the best chance to win and exceed expectations. And, you know, they get the big win against ranked Kentucky, had an opportunity to beat Ole Miss by, you know, a couple inches.
That's right.
The receiver had a touchdown catch and just fell a little bit short there. And then, you know, Pittsburgh, you see what kind of team they turn out to be. And, you know, Tennessee's played some really good quarterbacks, but Tennessee has a really good one of its own in Hendon Hooker, who has just turned his game to another level under, you know, the supervision and care of Josh Heupel. So, yeah, things are offensively, things look good, but it's a week-to-week season, and it's a new challenge this week against Georgia, the best defense in the country, best team in the country. So looks good so far, but, man, it's time to, you know, it's Wednesday. Tennessee's moved on, and it's a new challenge.
It's definitely a new challenge. What do you think about that that offense going up against Georgia's defense? I mean, it is the number one ranked defense in the country right now, only giving up about a little over six points per game. But it hasn't really been because of touchdowns. It's been about field goals, quite honestly. How do you think Tennessee is able to operate against this Georgia defense at home? I mean, it's going to be a nice environment for them, but how do you think they're going to operate?
Well, I mean, I think Tennessee is going to continue to attack the perimeter and make plays down the football field. I don't know if you're going to be able just to run the football in the red zone against a team like Georgia. This is why they're giving up field goals and not touchdowns. So they're going to make some plays. It needs to be an open field. You need to strike and make plays on the outside. You know, I saw with Georgia, you know, had a couple of really good DBs, corners go to the league. And that's, you know, an area where, you know, Georgia wanted to kind of address in the offseason and did that for the most part. But if you're going to hit Georgia, I saw the South Carolina game where Carolina was able to make some plays on the outside. That's one of your best bets. Georgia has not faced a tempo like Tennessee. And so really hard to substitute, won't be able to substitute unless Tennessee has an incomplete pass or something like that. So for Georgia, I think it's important for Georgia to stop Tennessee from picking up that first down, because if not, then Georgia's defense will run probably more than they ever have from, you know, sideline to sideline. And it'll be a nice conditioning test for those front four, front seven that are absolute beasts. So this is the best defense that Tennessee is going to face, but I think this offense is going to present some challenges for Georgia for the first time this season, too. I think the best offense Georgia's faced has been Arkansas, and that's absolutely just pulverized those guys. But, you know, Tennessee has the work cut out for them. The front is going to be challenged. There's not a lot of depth there on the offensive line. Georgia certainly has an advantage in the trenches. You know, it's not even close there. So going to have to get some luck, going to have to make some plays, and hope for Georgia to have a C game.
So, Jason, I mean, do you feel like that's Tennessee's best bet is trying to hit some explosive stuff over the top on the boundaries? I mean, do you think there's a universe where Tennessee is able to just drive the ball down the field on this Georgia defense enough to keep up?
That's not Tennessee's game. Tennessee has not done that really all season long. Tennessee has been a quick strike, big play, explosive offense. They don't want to be methodical. They want to hit shots over the top. They want to, you know, force you to not be able to substitute. They don't care about time of possession. Tennessee had 14 minutes of time of possession against Kentucky. Yeah. They just don't care. It's about putting up points. And so they want big plays over the top. They want big plays. And Josh Heupel has – it doesn't matter if it's against Alabama. It doesn't matter if it's against Kentucky. It doesn't matter who it's been against. He's always been able to find something in the defense to exploit. Now, against Florida, you exploited and made a big play, but you still lost by multiple touchdowns because you didn't execute in the second half. Alabama did the same thing. The margin of error is so small because of the lack of talent, depth. Tennessee's operating with 70 scholarships, guys. Right. And so you can't have penalties. You can't have key injuries. You can't have mistakes, because if you do, that one mistake can turn around and be the difference between, you know, a one possession game or a three possession game. That's how small the margin of error for Tennessee is. So
you talk about, I mean, a quick strike. Does that not worry you in terms of Georgia actually being able to maybe be bullish up front themselves on the offensive side of the ball, keep the ball out of the hands of Tennessee, run the football effectively, and really just keep that offense off the field? Does that not worry you at all?
That's not what Tennessee does, man. I mean, that's a kind of an old school way of thinking. Is, you know, let's keep the ball away, let's play keep away, and try to hold the ball.
Well, no, I meant for Georgia. So I mean, Georgia's able to keep them off the field and eliminate those quick strikes. Does that not worry you a little bit?
No, absolutely. I mean, if Georgia's able to have those long drives, then most certainly. I mean, that takes away possessions from Tennessee. But I don't see teams being able to do that. Not because Tennessee's defense is good. It's because they either score fast or they don't. You know, Tennessee is going to attack you and you know, force you to either beat them or, you know, beat them for a big play or not. That's how they have operated. So, you know, Kentucky was able to kind of put together, like, they put together 99 plays against Tennessee. Now, if Georgia does that, then it's going to be ugly on Saturday. Obviously, Kentucky is not as good as Georgia, but absolutely. If Georgia's able to hold on to the ball and get 4 yards here, 4 yards there, 4 yards there, then that'll be a big problem for Tennessee for sure. Sorry, I misunderstood you.
Oh, it's okay.
So, I mean, yeah, that's kind of the question that I have a little bit. Like, watching that Florida game, it felt like that was the game maybe – and correct me if I'm wrong here. Obviously, you know, you're going to know way better than I do. But it felt like Tennessee didn't quite go as full up-tempo as they have pretty much every other game I've watched this year. Do you feel like that was kind of a product of, like, trying to keep that game close and not just have a bunch of quick three and outs and keep putting that defense out there? Or – you know, what do you think happened there? Because, I mean, obviously against Kentucky, like you said, I mean, first play, what, 75-yard bomb. Next time they get the ball back, 73-yard screen pass for a touchdown. Like, these big chunk plays. But I guess, is there a way this gets sideways quick and it turns into a blowout if they come out and it's, you know, three and out, three and out, three and out a few times and that defense isn't having time to adjust to what Georgia's doing on offense?
Yeah, most certainly. It certainly can happen that way. It hasn't happened this season, but it sure could happen this weekend against Georgia. You know, against Florida, you had, you know, some injuries there. So I think that kind of affected the strategy with the tempo. One thing this offense does, it keeps the offense in control. Like, they are the dictators. You know, they decide when they want to snap the football. They make you declare what you want to do. You really can't disguise what you want to do, because you just don't know if Tennessee's going to snap the ball, you know, within 15, 20 seconds or 10 seconds or take up the whole play clock. You don't know that. But Tennessee dictates that because they get up to the line of scrimmage so fast and make you think that they're going to snap the football. So if you're going to play cover one, they're going to make you get into it and show them. You can't really disguise it. And so that's one thing Josh Heupel wants to do. Yeah, the tempo is kind of the base of what they do. They want to go fast. They want to catch you out of alignment. They want to catch you out of position. You know, they want to challenge the conditioning of the guys up front. But it helps the coaches know exactly what you want to do so that way they can call the right call for the offense. So, but, yeah, if you don't pick up the first down, you go three and out, it can be a problem. It can be a huge problem. So that's why I said earlier, picking up the first down is so important for Tennessee, because if you don't, then you can go back and look at the Pittsburgh game where Tennessee had a few three and outs. And that was when Tennessee was playing with Joe Milton and Hendon wasn't playing that much. So we just haven't seen Hendon go multiple three and outs, you know, since he's been a quarterback. Let's say it could happen this weekend. More than likely, it's going to happen this weekend because Georgia's that good. But I just haven't seen it with Hendon in there. He's just been that good.
Well, I am curious with Hendon a little bit. Just going back and kind of looking at since he's come in, obviously it's been a ton of, you know, big plays, and he's really kind of turned the season around for Tennessee, it feels like. But going and looking at that Ole Miss game, it's like he carried the ball 24 times. You know, there's been times where he's having 20, 24 carries, 16 carries from that quarterback position. The most that anyone's carried the ball against this Georgia team this year was 16 times, and that was Kevin Harris at South Carolina, and most of that was in garbage time. So it's like, do you – you know, my question a little bit is kind of what does Tennessee do in the run game? Do you think that they – let him run in the teeth of that defense, just because we saw what happened with Richardson in Florida, you know, 12 carries and eventually he was knocked out of the ball game. Hooker is very elusive. I think he's harder to get a clean hit on than Richardson might be, but is Tennessee going to let him take that type of punishment, or do you think they try to do something else creative in the run game to kind of replace those yards?
He's a part of the run game. He's going to run football, and Hendon has been really good about not letting, you know, someone get a square hit on him. You know, Josh Dobbs was really good at that too, where you're just not going to square him up and just hit him in his chest. And so Hendon's been really good at that. He's done a good job of it. You know, the hit they took against Ole Miss was someone kind of – he slowed down and someone hit him from the back and his knee, like, went to the ground. That was more of a bruise. And he played the next week. So he has to be a part of the running game. Because you just can't leave it up to the running backs. I think the quick screen for the receivers on the outside, and that was a play that Javonte Pate scored on the first play of the game against Kentucky. That's a play that has to be an extension of the run game. You're not going to be able to line up and just run in between the tackles. So Tennessee is going to force Georgia to account for 53 yards wide and 100 yards long. And that's what puts – you know, defenses at a disadvantage and have trouble, because the receivers, man, they line up damn near on the sideline.
Yeah,
it's wide. Yeah. They're wide, and if you're not disciplined with your eyes, you would turn around and the receiver would be behind you, or running a post route or running a go route, because you get lulled asleep because the receiver's on the sideline. You think, oh, you're not gonna get the ball because that's not normal. So, I'm sure Kirby Smart is, you know, telling his guys that there's a ton of film to see examples of that, but. Hendon is going to be a part of the running game. It's really the only way Tennessee is going to be able to win this game if everyone is involved in a run.
So if you look at the offensive side of the ball, if we're going into this game, it's outside of Hendon, who do you think is going to be an X factor in this game against Georgia on the offensive side of the ball? Who else could be that X factor that our fans and your fans could actually look at and say, you know what, Jay Sway was right?
It's the older receivers. It's three receivers. It's Bayless Jones, Cedric Tillman, and Javonte Payton. Those guys, the last two games, they've had a touchdown, you know, in the same game. So, Alabama, they've all three scored. Kentucky, they all three scored. Cedric Tillman is a guy that, you know, he's a great 50-50 ball catcher. And if you're going to pull off upsets, you're going to have to catch some of those passes on the outside. where it's quick, mm-hmm. it's quick game, a three-step drop, you catch, you know, safety and, you know, single high safety where you pick a side. You either go to Tillman or you go to Payton or you go to, you know, some other receiver. But Tillman has been the most reliable ball catcher. He's a freak when it comes to 50-50 balls. And he's someone that's not, like, extremely athletic. I mean, he's a guy that coming out of high school, he was about to walk on to go to Southern Cal and didn't even take a visit to Tennessee, you know, before committing and signing. So he's a diamond mm-hmm. in the rough. He works his butt off. He has developed. And those are the guys, I think, on the outside that's going to have to make some plays for sure.
I guess I'm curious, give us a little bit of an idea kind of where this Tennessee offensive line is at, particularly in the run game, just because Georgia's so far this year, they haven't had to play cover zero against anybody. You know, they've been able to stop mm-hmm. the run with their base packages and with just mm-hmm. four guys up front, and they really haven't had to leave these cornerbacks on an island with no safety help. Mm-hmm. Do you think that Tennessee could potentially, you know, force them into having to bring those safeties down closer to the box and create those matchups on the outside?
Yeah, if Hendon is a part of the running game and he's being successful, that's really the only way. There's, you know, running backs have been banged up. You know, offensive line is the healthiest they've been. You know, we had the bye week before the Kentucky game. You know, in the Ole Miss game, Cade Mays goes down early in the game, and you wind up playing a walk-on. So there's a former walk-on behind Cade. So that tells you about the depth there. So I don't think Tennessee's going to be able to get Georgia out of their base package unless Hendon is part of the running game and he's being successful.
Well, obviously, there's two sides of the coin. You know, Georgia's offense, a lot of people have said a lot about Georgia's offense and then not being as explosive as what people thought it might be going into the season. But what do you think is the key to possibly the victory, quite honestly, for Tennessee on the defensive side of the ball? What do you have to do to slow down Georgia's complete package on offense? Because they have been opportunistic in very different ways. But who's that key player that you guys are going to look at?
Well, I think, you know, you got to take a page out of what Alabama did last year. You know, Stetson Bennett is certainly better, like smarter, he's more confident. But Georgia came up short against Alabama because you forced him to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. And you look at Daniels and Bennett as passers, JT is better, but this team rallies around Stetson more. They love him, and you can see it. But he's going to have to make mistakes, as simple as that. And I think Tennessee will have to make some plays and win in special teams as well. Tennessee's been able to block a couple punts. I think that's going to be vital. Tennessee's going to have a chance to steal a possession or two. But I don't think Georgia is going to lose if Stetson Bennett has a good day. So I think, you know, Tennessee has to find a way to affect him. Tennessee's been really good at, you know, making plays behind the line of scrimmage. You know, at one point, I think last week, they were leading the country in TFLs. So they got to continue to affect quarterbacks. You know, Alabama – they force a fumble with the wide receiver, punching the ball out. Those are things that Tennessee will have to do. Thinking about turning the football over and hopefully catching Georgia, you know, with a loose bread basket or, you know, picking the ball off, things like that. Got to force them to make mistakes.
So where is Tennessee? I mean, I know you just said they've kind of led – they were leading the nation in TFLs going into last week, but like going back and doing some film study of the Georgia Missouri game, like Georgia got pushed around in the interior of their offensive line and they really weren't able to establish the run between the tackles against Missouri, who's been awful against the run. So
that's surprising.
I know it was surprising. I mean, Georgia, you know, they had to do some jet sweeps and kind of some creative stuff to get guys out on the edge just because those two guards in that center, the Missouri was resetting the line of scrimmage at those guys down after down. Is the strength of this Tennessee defensive line in the pass rush or is it in stopping the run?
Probably be stopping the run if you had to pick between the two. You know, pass rush is the question. You know, Tennessee didn't do a great job of that against Kentucky. And really all game long, you had a couple plays, you know, when it mattered most from Byron Young, but rushing the passer is something that, that we certainly need to get better at. And it's not a strength. It hasn't been. But stopping the run and creating plays behind the line of scrimmage, I mean, they've been really good at that. Theo Jackson is you know, I think Tennessee's best player. In 26, he plays nickel. He's everywhere. He's in the running game. He's really smart. He's played a lot of football. But this defense, and honestly, I don't know how they've been able to do it, to be honest. I just figured this defense would be giving up 40 points a game. But that's just a test to Tim Banks, first-time coordinator in the conference, and a lot of experienced guys, you know, around him. I mean, this coach staff has done a great job with these players, who I didn't think was going to be good enough to be in this position that they are in right now. Some of the defensive statistics and some of the success that they've had. Last game was not a good game against Kentucky at all. So hopefully those guys bounce back.
Yeah, I mean, those guys were on the field, what, 99 plays?
99 plays, yeah, man.
And so 70 scouts.
I mean, Tennessee's not good at, you know, stopping quarterbacks that run. That's been a bugaboo. And then getting off the field on third down. I mean, Tennessee, I think Kentucky was, what, 70-something percent, 8 for 12 on third down. 12 for 16 on third down, 75%. So getting off the field on third down is super, super important, something that Tennessee has not been good at.
I know these guys are going to come out fired up, and that, you know, I've been to Neyland multiple times. You know, when that crowd gets into it, it's special. They infuse an energy into that team. But like you said, you know, 70 scholarship guys, do you worry that having to play 100 snaps on defense last week in a tight game, that may come into play in the second half of this?
No, I ain't worried. I'm telling you right now, Tennessee's going to punch Georgia in the mouth. They're going to do that. Now, whether Georgia, you know, whether Tennessee's able to get up after Georgia punches back, that's another story.
Sure, yeah.
So Georgia is a big bully here in this matchup. And when I was growing up, the way you deal with a bully is you smack his ass first because you know what's about to happen. You're about to fight, so you might as well smack him first. And, you know, don't sit there and take it. Tennessee is going to punch. And Tennessee's going to fight and claw. And if you watch the Alabama game, you saw that. They're going to fight. They're not going to go down without a fight. They're going to go down swinging. This is a different culture. This is a different team. Tennessee is not as good as Georgia at all. And the fans will pump some energy into them. The atmosphere will be good. And for Georgia, you know, if they want to silence the crowd, they got to come in here, you know, go put up some points quick, fast, and in a hurry. Because if they don't, but you allow the crowd to get going. And this crowd, this fan base is behind this team, and they believe in Heupel. And you can just see that, tell that Ole Miss game. I was there in attendance, and it was loud. It reminded me of some of my days playing. So Tennessee is going to fight. They're going to fight, and they're going to punch first for sure. Or if Georgia punches first, they'll punch back.
Yeah. So, Jason Swain, let's get into it. Let's get into the real deal. What is your prediction?
Well, I got Georgia winning. I got Georgia covering. I think, you know, look at the Alabama game and Tennessee – fault, punch, claw, scratch. But at the end of the day, you got 70 scholarship players. And you're going up against a program that has built, recruited, developed, you know, no attrition with the coaches for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years. And so at the end of the day, I think that shows up. And I think for Tennessee, regardless if they're at home or away, I just think Georgia should win this football game. I think they're a better football team. Right? The number one team in the country. But I think they play better and presents too many challenges for Tennessee to overcome. So I got Tennessee losing in this game against Georgia.
All right. Well, Jay, before we get you out of here, I just got one more question, and it's regarding the college football playoffs. I mean, I might as well get this from you. Top four came out. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, do you think Cincinnati should be in that top four?
Not right now. I think they've been playing around with teams. They knew what they had to do. You know, the paper is due 3 months from now. You wait until the last second to do it. You deserve the F you get. I think for Cincinnati, they knew the whole year they had to play a certain level to get placed in the top four, to get that respect. And quite frankly, they've been playing around with teams like Tulane. They caused me to miss the first part of the Tennessee game because, you know, that boring, you know, game that was supposed to be against Tulsa, it was closer than it and it shouldn't have never been close. And so ESPN was playing that game instead of switching to the Tennessee Kentucky game, made me miss part of the game. So I'm kind of pissed off at Cincinnati right now. but no, man, they deserve to be outside right now. They have not played with a sense of urgency to be in the top four because they're squeaking by, you know, the Tulsas and the Tulanes of the world. So, nah, man, they need to wait their turn and hope for somebody to lose in front of them or play better.
Right. All right, man. Well, thank you for joining the show. Before we get you out of here, I mean, where can people reach you? Where can people see and hear about you?
Hey, Swain Event app. Broadcast every morning live, 7 to 10 Eastern. We podcast everything. So wherever you get your podcast, Swain Event, we are there. We video stream our show each and every day as well on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live. So that's where I be.
All right, man. Thanks, Jay. We appreciate you coming on, and hopefully
you
can get us on, and we'll talk about them Dogs when it comes down to that that national title game.
All right. That sounds good, guys.
All right, man. We'll get you out of here. So, Graham, that was Jason Swain. I knew it was going to be a good interview. I mean, he knows the insides and outs of this program. And, you know, I talked to Jason earlier before the season even started, and he was confident. He was like me. He was bullish on Heupel. He thought that Heupel would be able to come in, stabilize his program immediately. I felt the same exact way. But it was interesting to hear his assessment on this team, especially with Tennessee only having 70 scholarship players. Mm-hmm. His thoughts on what they could do against Georgia, his thoughts on what Georgia would do against Tennessee, and overall his assessment. I mean, what are your thoughts on his interview?
No, I thought, you know, there's nobody that knows that program better than Jason does. I thought that there was a lot of good, honest analysis there. I know the guy loves Tennessee and he wants to see Tennessee do well, but yeah. You know, he's shooting it straight. He's not a homer or anything like that. You know what I mean? Like he's telling us what he thinks is going to happen in this game. And you know, I think the only thing that I am kind of curious to see about, because you know, I asked him about Hooker running the ball and whether or not he can kind of survive that against this Georgia defense. And Jason seems to feel confident that he will run the ball a lot and that, you know, he'll be able to do that without taking any big licks. And maybe I'm wrong. You know what I mean?
That's a risk.
It's a risk, man.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, we really, you know, even guys like Rodriguez, you know, eight carries against this Georgia defense was all that they wanted to give him. So I think if that is part of Tennessee's game, I think that it can create some big plays for them and it can give Georgia some issues in different ways schematically. But I also think that you run the risk of having to trot out Joe Milton, because if N'Kobe Dean or Channing Tindall or Lewis Cine gets squared up on Hooker, you know.
They're taking their shot.
Yeah, they're taking their shot. And it's going to be clean. These guys play clean football, man.
Most definitely.
But they're that physical, man. And they get to the ball and they speed up. You know what I mean? Yeah. They don't get to the ball and – slow down and wrap up. Like, they get to the ball and they run through you. They hit the way that you're taught to hit from Pop Warner on.
Yeah. And Lewis Cine, he's already been talking about it, man. These guys are hyped up. They're ready to go into Neyland Stadium and kind of like you mentioned earlier, show themselves as the number one defense, you know, and not only a number one defense, but a great secondary as well. Because I think a lot of times we lose sight of the Christopher Smiths, the Brinis, the Scenes in the on the back end, you know, the Ringos and Kendricks that are playing excellent football as well. Mm-hmm. We always focus on that interior line. We focus on Davis. We focus on Dean in the middle, but we're not focusing a lot on that on the outsides. And I think that's what's going to actually challenge this defense. But I think that these guys rise to the occasion. And I think if they rise to the occasion, as we believe they will, it's really going to show the nation how good this defense truly is, because I mentioned it earlier, all throughout the season, they've played teams. They played offenses and quarterbacks that have challenged them in various ways. You have the running quarterback. You have the option. You have guys that are, you know, that are able to take a lick and keep on ticking, like a Levis, you know, who's a bigger quarterback, or the Arkansas.
Right.
And they've handled each one of them. So this would be kind of like your last official test going into, you know, your finals, if you want to put it that way. You know, you got the SEC conference championship and title game that'll be coming up soon. I mean, obviously, I think a lot of people are going to look past next week and also Georgia Tech. But, I mean, we can't. Georgia as a football team cannot. But I think a lot of people are going to look past those two games and they're going to say, okay, what's coming up here soon? It's going to be the SEC title game. And this is going to be the challenge. This is going to be prepping for that title game when you have a Tennessee that's able to sling the ball and throw that ball around just like Alabama would be able to. But, again, same type of situation if you look at Bama's quarterback and then you look at Tennessee's quarterback. Either one of those guys get out the pocket and they take a shot, lights out, it's over. You know, so yep. This would be that tune-up game if you ask me. And, you know, and I do love Hooker. I think he presents a lot of challenges. He's very smart in the pocket. He's waited his time. He's bided his time. And when he got the opportunity, he took advantage of it. Again, 21 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. I mean, he is playing lights out. And Heupel trusts him. He trusts him to make adjustments at the line of scrimmage, to play fast. This defense has to come out locked in, just like Jason said, because they're not going to allow you the opportunities to make substitution packages. It's going to be mano a mano, and are you ready play after play after play until you get them off the field on third downs?
Right, 100%. And, you know, I do think that there is a universe where, like, we saw this against Kentucky, right? I thought Kentucky probably managed the game against Georgia better than any opponent has so far this year.
Yeah.
But, you know, so you got a 7-point game at halftime. Georgia comes out, they get the ball, they go score. You go 3 and out, they get the ball, they go score. All of a sudden, it's a 17-point game, you know?
Yeah.
And with this tempo, you know, I haven't gotten to do the full film study breakdown yet, mm-hmm. but just from what I have looked at so far, Tennessee's not scheming up a ton of exotic stuff, but they're just running, you know, they're just running everything fast, and they're catching teams out of position, and they're catching guys, you know, tired or while they're in between calls and signals. And I think Georgia will be ready for that. I mean, you know, the word on the street is that they're running. They've got 2 scout teams coming in and out right now
yeah.
in practice. And this defense is running. They're running a play every 8 seconds against this defense right now.
Wow.
So this might feel slow to them after a week of looking at that, but I think there's a way where Tennessee, and Jason was talking about it too, like they come out in that tempo, but they're going 3 and out. They're only taking 10, 15 seconds off the clock. And this game gets a big margin really quick. Like with Georgia, it kind of feels like you sort of are waiting for the avalanche always, you know, and it can be a turnover that sparks it. It can be a special teams play. It can be just an explosive play by the offense, but there seems to be in every game that one little 5-7-4 minute sequence where all of a sudden Georgia, you know, turns the game on its head and they score a couple touchdowns or they score a couple touchdowns and a field goal and really create that margin. So I think that's the challenge for Tennessee, but I think if you were trying to avoid that avalanche and weather the storm, you don't want to be running that type of tempo. Now, I think that Tennessee is going to play to win this game.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they will. I think they will run their system and they will run that tempo. But I think
you have to play your game.
Well, against Florida, they really didn't, man. You know, I mean, they kind of played to keep that game within a respectable margin.
Yeah.
And I think that the way they've been playing the last few weeks, they've got confidence and belief and they're going to come out and they are going to try and, you know, win this game. They're going to try and play this game, not to keep it respectable, but to keep it competitive and to be in it in the fourth quarter. But I think that may ultimately play into Georgia's hands a little bit in terms of how this plays out.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I know that people have looked back at that Florida game and that was a different Florida team. If you really want to look at it, I mean, they're 2-1 at that point, they got better confidence. That was a different Tennessee team. They had just come off that loss to the University of Pittsburgh, I think. 41-38, something like that. And they're really getting their footing. And Milton was a quarterback at that time. It wasn't Hooker. And Hooker, I think Milton started that game against Florida, if I'm correct.
He did.
And Hooker got
Hooker did.
Did he start that game?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That was his first start.
Yeah, I look at it differently. I just think that this team has evolved, and I think that they know what they have to do to try to win games, and they kind of figured out early on that, you know what, our defense isn't just going to be there. I mean, it isn't. Excuse me. So they can't play that particular style as they tried with Florida. I think that they come out and they start fast, and they're going to play their game. I really do. I think that we're going to see Tennessee in all of its glory and what they attempt to do with Josh Heupel. Up-tempo, a play every 10, 15 seconds, not allowing you to substitute. And it's going to stretch us. It's going to stretch us a lot, and I'm okay with that. But what's your prediction, man? What's your prediction on this game?
I think that, this is a money bag game for Darion Kendrick. And yeah. I think he's going to be up to the challenge. You know, Jason referenced, and you know, we've talked before, like Josh Van is the only guy to get behind this Georgia defense all year, and he's a great receiver, man. You know, he runs a 4.3, and yeah. He's really developed well over the years at South Carolina. But that was when Amir Speed was still the starting defensive back. That was before Ringo, you know, really kind of took locked hold of that position. Spot. Yeah, and I think Ringo has as much recovery speed of anyone in the country. So I do think it's going to be hard for them to get over the top on Georgia's corners. I expect Tennessee to try to work the middle of the field, try and create matchups against, you know, Brenny in that star position, and maybe try to take advantage of Lewis Cine if they can get him matched up in man, although he has been much better in coverage this year than he was a season earlier. Not that he was bad, but he's been exceptional so far this season. So I think Tennessee is going to get its chunks, you know, and I think that Georgia is probably going to play this a little bit softer than they have against a lot of teams. I think they're going to want to try and keep things in front of them and make Tennessee drive the field. Because I don't think that we haven't seen anyone prove that they can just drive the field on this Georgia defense. We've seen teams move the ball between the 20s and get down in there and then things stall out. So I think this Georgia defense will be a little more bend but don't break. I don't think they're going to worry about yardage. I think they're going to worry about points, as they should. But I like Georgia to get a turnover or two in this game that I think will really change things a lot. I think Ringo comes up. Ringo or Kendrick, I think one of those guys comes up with a pick. But my gut is telling me Ringo right now. and our boy, my guy Christopher Smith, man. You know, he did some really impressive things last week against Missouri, where you could tell pre-snap he knew exactly what play was coming, and he was coaching up other guys to go and rush upfield against screens and stuff like that. And Tennessee runs a lot of – you know, there's tendencies in this offense, and I think that Georgia will pick up on them, and that might create a big play in their favor. So I like Georgia to win. I think that Georgia will come out and play well from the jump. They tend to do that every time they go up to Neyland. And I think a road game is probably good for this team right now, just from a focus standpoint. So I like this offensive line actually to have a good day and to get back in a groove and to take this game personally. I'm going to go Georgia 41, Tennessee 17.
Wow. Okay. You know, I've waffled. I'll be honest. I've waffled on this game back and forth. And really, I've waffled because, again, what you have never seen is going to challenge your thought process. And I don't think we've seen an offense that's going to stretch our secondary like this, quite honestly. A younger secondary on the outside. And I only say that from Ringo's standpoint, being a freshman, but also Kendrick being in this defense. I mean, he's put a lot of ball going back to his days at Clemson. And at the very same time, this up-tempo offense. I don't know if we start fast. We have not necessarily started fast the last few games. You know, it's been methodical. It's been slow. It's been, you know, they're testing things. It almost looks like they're testing things out. If the offensive line plays well, they start fast. If the offensive line doesn't, they don't start fast. So I don't know if I can trust this offensive line to start immediately fast after what they put on the field last week. Is it a bigger game? Yes, it's Tennessee. You should be up for this game. If you can't be up for this, I don't know. You shouldn't be on the team, quite honestly. I mean, it's a big game. It's a big one. It's stretch run here. But I'm not so sure that they start out that fast. With that being said, I think they get into their groove. I think they're able to run the football more effectively. That'll set up the pass where last week they had to, you know, throw the football more efficiently than what they normally have with Stetson, even though he's been very efficient all year. I don't know, man. I think I'm going, I mean, I early on, I was going to go 34-23. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. I like Tennessee's offense. I like Tennessee a lot on offense. I really like Heupel's scheme and everything else. But I'm going to go back on this. I'm actually going to say 38-16. And okay. I think that, you know, I think they're able to score a touchdown. But I think, like you said, a lot of things are going to be kept underneath. It's going to force Tennessee to kick field goals if they can. And that's in their thought process. That's going to be a way of staying in the game, right? Kicking field goals, keeping it close. But then I think Georgia at some point just finally, you know, just lays on them. Again, 70 scholarship players. You got enough bodies to kind of keep throwing at this team until they submit. And, you know, and all these other offenses that are efficient. I mean, I think you put out the post last week or this week on Twitter that Georgia's in the top five of all of those. I mean, you got like Pittsburgh that put up a lot of points against them. All these other offenses that have been scoring against them, Georgia's is either in the same realm or been better. So what's it for me to think that they can't be just as effective, even though it just doesn't look that way in optics? You know, I think that's what it really comes down to. So, right. Yeah, well, I'm going 38-16.
And I mean, one thing I would say is, yeah, I thought Georgia started slowly last week. We agree on that. But yeah. Stetson Bennett's success rate in the passing game last week was 68.9%,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
That is really, really good. And Georgia's offensive success rate for the season now is higher than Ole Miss, it's higher than Alabama, it's higher than Pitt, it's higher than Cincy, it's higher than Kentucky. So I, you know, I like where they are as an offense. I think they're in a good flow. And I think that, you know, Monken is the type of guy where he's flexible and he's smart. And I think that Kentucky put a lot on tape last week on what you can do against these guys. And I think he's seen enough teams come out early against Georgia and sort of throw out the playbook and throw away what they have done most games during the year and try to do something different to confuse this team. And so I think he'll be ready for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I think that Georgia will see some adversity in this game. And I think that Tennessee may be able to put up more yardage than you would think. Like I think that they may put up enough yards to where you would look at their total yardage after the game and think they would have scored, you know, 20, 25, 30 points. But I think that they're going to go for it on fourth downs once they get into Georgia's end. You know, I think their field goal kicker is good, but he's not great.
Exactly.
You know, and I think that Georgia's going to do the same thing, man. The way that Jack Podlesny has played lately has not been super consistent. So I think, you know, if they're on inside the Tennessee 40 and it's fourth and four, fourth and three or shorter, they're going to go. And I think that that's a good thing. I think that will, you know, lead to more points for Georgia. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting because if Tennessee is not able to possess the ball more than they did last week, I think this gets pretty ugly. You know, last week, I know that the low time of possession was a product of them just scoring explosive touchdowns. But you're not going to go out and have 13 minutes time of possession and score 45 points on Georgia. That's not happening, right?
No. Yeah, and you got to look at the – and even, you know, that's blown out of proportion, quite honestly. If you go back and you look at that Kentucky game, they had three missed coverages in that game. Yeah. A missed tackle on the screen play, kid goes 75 yards, start the game. A blown coverage on the 71-yard touchdown bomb. And then they almost gave up another bomb right along the sideline. A kid drops, you know, steps out of bounds. So, I mean, there's a lot of blown coverages that Georgia's not going to blow. So – but you do got to respect that their ability to scheme some things open. I mean, some great designs. I mean, quite honestly, I think it just confused Kentucky, but it will be interesting. And I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a game that, again, I think it's going to challenge us, but it's going to tell us a lot too. And it's going to tell the nation a lot in terms of where this team stands, man.
And I think, you know, you brought it up just now, but Georgia needs to tackle well in this game. they've been a really good tackling football team all season. Yeah. They have been really ever since Kirby Smart showed up. Missouri, there were some kind of lazy efforts in tackling.
Yes, there was.
I think that Missouri game actually was kind of best case scenario for Georgia, because you got to win big, but there was also plenty of teachable moments that got put on tape. So I think that they're going to come out fired up, man. I've got, you know, a good feeling about this game. Before we go, do you sure. have any thoughts on the quarterback position? You know, we did finally see JT last week. What do you think we see Saturday?
You know, I think we see Stetson. Why would you go away from him? I mean, he's in a groove. Right. Obviously, he's playing well. And again, I think it's just optics. I mean, everybody wants to see the sexy five-star quarterback, and you got Stetson, who's the walk-on quarterback, but he's winning. And the bottom line, the name of the game is to win. I mean, if you go back and you look at winning the Natty, if that's what it comes down to, and you've done it with a walk-on quarterback, what do you care? I mean, it doesn't affect you. I mean, JT's still going to have his opportunity to play. Either whether he comes back next year or whether he continues to move forward and go to the NFL, he's going to get an opportunity to play. He's a good quarterback, and a lot of people understand this guy's ability to be able to play the quarterback position. But it also makes you comfortable to know that if you do get into a pinch, you got a guy that can come off the bench and play lights out if he really wants to. And I think that a lot of people are a little bit taken back by the interception. He threw the ball behind a little bit with Burton. But I mean, that's just timing. He's going to get in, you know, that's not going to happen on every play. He's going to get that back, especially after you get more snaps during a game, if you had to play him more snaps. So it is what it is.
Well, and I thought, you know, his performance wasn't bad by any means. And there were some checks that he made that were really nice. And that's kind of tantalizing, because you love his ability pre-snap and his ability to get Georgia into the right play. And there were times where Stetson probably should have checked out of some run plays when he saw that the linebackers were coming down
right.
the blitz, and he didn't on Saturday. So that's, you know, something you wish you had on the field if you're a Georgia fan or you're the Georgia staff. But the truth is, he did look rusty, man. He looked like a quarterback that hadn't played in 6 weeks or however long it's been. And so I expect that rust to get knocked off week by week. I think there's a universe where maybe he is starting against Georgia Tech, depending on how the next couple of weeks go. But I don't think that happens if Stetson continues producing the way that he's producing right now. And I also don't think that happens if this offensive line doesn't start playing better, because Stetson's been forced to make a lot of plays with his legs. And, you know, this O-line, if they're not protecting well, Daniels is a little more of a sitting duck back there. He's not super dynamic with the legs, and he's not going to evade defenders and get you, you know, out of those negative plays. So I think that they're making the right decision right now, but I'm definitely interested to see how it continues to play out. But if you're a Georgia fan, I would say just, you know, be happy that you're getting good production from the quarterback position, and maybe not worry so much about who that production is coming from. Because I, you know, the other thing I would say too is, if you're in a bad situation as Georgia, and let's say you go up to Knoxville and this game starts bad for the offense, would you rather have JT coming off the bench for Stetson coming into the second half, or would you rather have it the other way around? I think you'd rather have JT coming in the game for Stetson. You'd probably be more confident in that scenario. So yeah. I think things are good where they are, and I'm sure we'll continue to dissect it and break it apart way further than it needs to be every week. But it's a good position to be in. It's a very good position.
Well, that's why we have podcasts, and that's why people watch the game, and that's why people talk about it. If there was nothing to talk about, what would you do? So
exactly.
But hey, man, let's get out of here. It's been a good show. Got to talk to, like I said, Jason Swain, great dude. Talked a little bit about, you know, what happened last week with Missouri. But hey, we got Tennessee. Look forward to speaking to you next week, man, after a victory. Anything else to say?
No, sir. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs. Thank you for listening to the 100 Sanford Podcast. Tune in weekly to hear fresh content from the 100 Sanford Podcast every Thursday, but also with some pop-up shows every now and then as news breaks. You can also follow the content on our website, www.100sanfordpodcast.com, and email us at dogs@100sanfordpodcast.com. Lastly, reach out to us on social media streams. For Twitter, it's at 100 Samford, but on IG, TikTok, Facebook, and other accounts, it's 100 Samford Podcast. All right, folks, that's it. And as usual, see you at 100 Samford.